Welcome aboyim to the seventh and continuing series of Shi'urim on the commentary that it said the Hamak Dovah to the Chumash. We've spoken about several important themes in Itziv's commentary. One of those themes, of course, is the two concepts, two ways that we look at things, at man, or even, right, at the world, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is, of course, the natural dimension, and there's the metaphysical, the divine dimension. And we've spoken about that in several places where the Tziv, in fact, actually identifies these two dimensions of man, and that there are two specters of man. Man as a natural being embedded within the natural world, within the context of the natural world, and man is a divine being that's connecting to God on a metaphysical level. Let's say I've understood that these are the two understandings of the word Adam as they appear in the Chumash, and we spoke about that. Now we're going to go a little bit further and take these two concepts and see how the Tziv actually utilizes them in his commentary, in hermeneutics, in other words, in his methodology of understanding the text of the Chumash. Now, as you're all aware of, if you haven't been aware of it previously, I'm sure that recently you've been aware of, is that we see in the Chumash that there are different sections of the Chumash in which the Shem Hashem, the name of God, is in fact different. In fact, it appears differently. This issue comes up notably in the parashas of Bereishis. We spoke about the difference between the first account of creation, which uses Elohim, Bereishis Ba'Elohim. In fact, that's just about the first Rashi and Chumash. Why does the Torah, in fact, use the word Elohim? And between the second chapter in Bereishis, the second parasha of Bereishis, in which Yudke Vovke is also used, Hashem Elohim is used, and we spoke about the Netziv's approach in which we are looking at two perspectives. Elohim, the Netziv understood not as it's usually understood, meaning justice, pure action of justice, but rather referring to the natural law and natural creation, as the first of Yudke Vavke, which emphasized man's relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yud Kei Vavke. That's what we spoke about that, and we brought that up in several previous shiurim. What's interesting is that the contrast or this dichotomy between Shem Elohim and Shem Yud Kei Vavke, which the Netziv uses, of course, this dichotomy is used by other mafarshim to indicate either two aspects of God, in the lowly man of faith, two aspects of man. But in any case, this dichotomy continues throughout the parashas of Bereishis. In particular, probably the most notable place where it occurs is, in fact, in parashas Noach. In parashas Noach, as many people will have noticed, either religious or non-religious, that in fact the account of Noah, which actually begins really at the very, very end of Parshas Bereishis, is in fact divided into different narratives in the Chumash. Most narratives actually use Shem Elohim, certainly from Parshas Noach. But in other words, there are some narratives that use Yud Kei Vav Kei. And of course, there have been, you know, the Rishonim, of course, have paid attention to this and have, in fact, actually commented on this. More recently, more modern commentators of Chumash have also noted this and have used different techniques, which we won't go into now, in order to try to explain the motives of the Chumash for changing, you know, the Devar Hashem is, in fact, changing the Shem Hashem from Elohim, Yud Kei Vav Kei, back to Elohim, etc., etc. Now, the Netziv's approach is a very, very interesting approach, and I think this Netziv approach is actually not only an interesting approach in this case, but actually is going to be a springboard for a lot of the methodology that Netziv uses in other parts of the Chumash, where the Shem Hashem, the name of God, is not necessarily the issue in the text which is challenging the commentator. The tziv I'm going to refer to and speak about and begin with begins in Perek Zayin Pasuk Aleph, right? It says Vayem Hashem Lenoyach, Hashem Kadosh Baruch Hu Yudkei Vavkei, Vayem Hashem Lenoyach Yudkei Vavkei, says to Noyach, Boy Atavachol Beischa LaTeva, come you and all of your household into the ark, into the teva. Because I've seen that you are a tzaddik in front of me in this generation. So the Nesiv, in his commentary, Ha'amek Dava, once again, we're Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, V'yayma Hashem, Hashem of course is Yud Kei Vav Kei, V'chola Inyin Lefnei HaMabul, right, says the Nesiv, before the Babel, there was the entire count of the Babel, Ula Achrav, and even after the Babel, Ksiv Elokim. It's interesting, Elokim appears just about all the Pashas Noyach. Not only before the Babel, but after the Babel too. Even the commandments, what's called the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noyach, that appear later on in Pashas Noyach, the command uses the Elokim, the term for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim, and not Yud Kei Vav Kei. So it says, V'chol Ha'inu Lefani HaMabel La'achav Ksiv Elokim. Levad Bazer, except in this specific narrative, right? Hamar Makasiv Havaya. Here it says, Vayim Hashem Lenoyach. Ukva Omer al Zahar Ramban. Ramban has already discussed this as an itziv. Vekosim Sheromes Kan Inyan Kalbonish al Zen Estava Kan Lahavi Shivas Minat Oira. We see that Ramban says that what's unique about this narrative too is that in the previous narratives, the previous parts of the Chumash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu orders Noyach to bring two, right? Two of each type of animal. Here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Noyach to bring seven of each type. So these seven are actually going to be used, we see later on, for the kabbonis, the sacrifices which Noyach will offer after the flood, after the Mabul. So the Ramban says that since in this section, actually the immediately right after this, Mikola Ba'im HaTa'ira Shetikat Lecha Shiva Sheva Ish V'Ishtoi, from the Be'ema Ta'ira, from the pure animals, right? Shiva, Shiva, Ish, Fi, Ishtoi, seven pairs, right? And of course, from the Be'ema Shaloi Ta'ira, animals which are not pure, Shanayim, Ish, Fi, Ishtoi. So the Sheva, the Be'emos, Ish, Fi, Ishtoi, is a remez, an allusion to the Korban, right? So because of this, we have the Shema Miyuchan. And of course, this is rather important because we know from Vayikra, right? Other parts in the Ramban speaks about this at the beginning of a Yikra, based upon a Gemara in Menachos Daf Kufyud Amud Aleph, that in Kabbonos the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei is used, so that a person should not be mistaken to think that the Korban is actually, you know, Chas V'Shalom, a sacrifice to polymorphic deities. This is, in fact, actually what the Gemara Menachos says. There's a tremendous amount of discussion in the Ramban, because the fact is that we do see Shem Elokim in certain Kabbonos. There's a very beautiful Ramban that discusses the very profound and very profound nuances between Elokim and Yud Kei Vav Kei when they're used in the case of Kabbonos. But nonetheless, the Ramban here explains that Yud Kei Vav Kei here is being used because, in fact, the Torah is speaking about Kabbonos. Now, the Netziv is actually going to take further this technique, but that's what he's going to do. He's further this technique based upon the Kidmas HaEmek, that, in fact, actually, in other words, our understanding of the Chumash, continues and deepens throughout the generations. But with this, I want to actually give a little bit of a begin by way of introduction, side comment. It's interesting, if we step aside, and we know that the Chumash, right, is understood by scholars, right, we understand the Chumash is the Dvar Hashem, but from a literary point of view, so it's interesting that the scholars have raised the issue, what distinguishes the Chumash from other, what you would call ancient texts, right? What's called ancient literary texts, or the literature of ancient texts. We know that we have thousands of ancient texts from time immemorial. It's very interesting that we don't have ancient texts. We have the Chumash itself. In other words, in the different texts that arose in the ancient world, Babylonian texts, other different types of texts, you can actually see a development of texts over time. In the case of the Chumash, there are no ancient texts of the Chumash, they're just the Chumash. That's a very interesting point of hashkacha in the scientific understanding of the Chumash. All the hypotheses as to the origin of the antithetical text, which are put forth by scholars of all kinds, has absolutely no evidence to base itself upon. But in any case, you know, Gilgamesh, for example, the Babylonian myth of Gilgamesh, in fact, you could see actually the progression of the text over a period of time. In the Chumash, we don't see anything of that. The Ur text of the Chumash, which scholars posit, actually belong to what's called the vacuum set. They don't exist. But in any case, that's just a little bit of a digression. But I want to think about how do we understand, from even an objective point of view, the difference, the nature and style of, right, Terasenu Akdesha, and between what we would consider to be ancient texts as they arose, if not at that time, you know, close to the time of Matan Torah. So there's a very famous German Jewish scholar, a Yeke. He wasn't from, his name was Erich Orbach, who actually wrote many, many essays. I think the essays were collected in a very famous book called Mimesis, M-I-M-E-S-I-S. And Mimesis actually deals, the subtitle is the nature or the changing nature of the representation of reality from a literary point of view throughout history. The first essay of Orbach, he wasn't from, by the way, so he has a din of a kafel ha'amor, we can take him, he's not going to be marim umnasri, but in any case, Orbach has the first essay in Mimesis, I think it's called Odysseus' Scar, and he contrasts or compares the ancient Greek text, the Odyssey, with in fact the Chumash, and actually focuses on actually the Akedah in the Chumash at the end of Parshas Vayera. Interesting. And what Orbach says is very interesting. He says is that the ancient Greek text is actually a text, what he calls a text which involves what's called rhetoric. In other words, the character's motives, his feelings, his understanding, the entire background is brought, you know, is in fact actually expressed. It's brought to the front. In other words, we know everything about the motives of the characters, the different characters of the plot, etc., etc. In other words, nothing is really hidden from the reader. In other words, the text is actually a text, right? Intrinsic to the text is what's called rhetoric. It's telling us motives and feelings and backgrounds, etc. Right? This is in contradistinction to the Akedah. In fact, actually, in the Akedah, we don't know very, very much about the motives of the background. The psukim, in fact, communicate to us a certain reality, and the story, as in fact progresses, is in fact actually one of, there's a certain, let's call it, suspense, because really the background and motives, etc., has to really be filled in by the reader. Now, Orbach, of course, is speaking as a scholar. By the way, I refer you to the essay, Odysseus the Scar. It's a very good essay. I probably haven't done it really justice. Maybe we'll speak about it another time and we'll get the Akedah. But in any case, the important issue which I want to discuss is that really what Orbach is, perhaps you can understand of Orbach speaking, that in fact in the Torah Shebichtav there's an intrinsic Torah Shebi'alpeh. That's why one way of learning Orbach. In other words, the Goyim, the nations of the world, do not have Torah Shebi'alpeh, as we all know. They have a Torah Shebichtav. So therefore, their texts are ones of, in fact, of rhetoric. But, you know, we have, Klal Yisrael has what's called the Torah Shebi'alpeh, and therefore, the text itself, right, the Losana text has to be, in fact, is filled in through the Torah Shebi'alpeh. That's way of understanding it. But I want to actually go even a step further. Most of us, most commentators, when in fact they look at the Chumash, will see different Shemesh Hashem and try to look at what is the Chumash. In other words, Shemesh Hashem, and therefore they'll try to, you know, create, peirushim, commentaries, right, using In other words, what they'll try to do is, they'll ask the question, why is the Chumash using the Shem Hashem? And that's what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban says, why does the Chumash use Yud Kei Vav Kei? Because it's a remnant of the Korban. In other words, the commentator, when he sees the change in the name of God, Yud Kei Vav Kei, will ask the question, why is the Chumash changing the name of Hashem to Yud Kei Vav Kei? That's the question. The question is why. However, I claim that the Netziv is going to be using a different technique. Namely, is that the question is not why is the Chumash using Yud Kei Vav Kei, but rather, given the fact that the Chumash uses Yud Kei Vav Kei, this is directing me in how to understand the text of the Chumash itself. In other words, the Shem Hashem, the Shem Hashem is a signpost. It's a guide which helps me and directs me the way in which I'm trying to understand this text. That's the, in other words, that's the technique of the Netziv. In other words, you could say is that the technique of the Rishayim is look at things from the God side. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu appear, reveal to Moshe Rabbeinu Yud Kei Vav Kei, right, in the beginning of this narrative, in Perek Zayin Posak Aleph? The Netziv is actually looking at it from the man side, from the commentator side, from the hermeneutical side. Namely, given the fact that we have Yud Kei Vav Kei, which stresses not man's natural dimension, but rather man's ethical dimensions, how are we supposed to interpret? This is a signpost, right? A sign which leads us that we're supposed to actually look for what you would call an ethical interpretation of the narrative itself. In other words, the Shem Hashem is the guide and prescription for the method of commentary on the text itself. That's the important idea of the Netziv. And that's what the Netziv says. V'ini lo yisiv oitam shegam al haposek harishon shel haparsha dayak shem havaya b'ma she'omar Hashem boy atah v'chol beischa l'teva, come to the teva. V'inei hamafarshim hevinu shekivan Hashem l'bon avush anoshesayim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, that was meant that his son should come and his the wife should come. Became embezam maimer chadoshes ala omer l'mayla v'asa elat uvanecha. So what is it coming? What is the chumash coming to tell me more than we know previously? But it says ki ra'is etzad v'fali b'do v'do. It says in the Tzav ainu muvan lamana son atatam v'lo marisha. In other words, in the first original narrative, it doesn't say that Kodesh Baruch Hu sees b'shem ez tzadik. But now when the chumash supposedly repeats itself and adds the word, right? Ki ois charis a tzadik tvarim bodo vadoa, what is Chumash coming to tell me? El anir b'vashmos v'chol beischa avodim uvem toysa v'yu l'tzorche beisu v'ashishu v'lo nekiyem ha'oilam. In other words, basically, that the behemoths and all the animals will be used, right, for the purpose. In other words, we understood previously that the Teva is coming to, in fact, to maintain that the world will continue after the flood. In other words, nature, the preservation of the natural world. That's the narrative of Elohim. Here, we're speaking about that Kodesh Baruch Hu is bringing the animals, also the animals will serve man. In other words, Kodesh Baruch Hu is giving what's called an ethical command. That in fact, the man will be able to benefit from the animals, and because of that, Noach will be able to bring his children and their wives. And therefore it's going to help Noach. This is going to help Noach in what he has to do in the Teva. Here we're speaking about God's mercy on Noach. Because the tzaddik is a person in the Chumash who has divine providence, right? Hashkocha potis. Right? In other words, what the Netziv is saying, in my opinion, is that Yud Kei Vav Kei is coming to teach us how we're supposed to approach the Chumash. That the Chumash is now looking at Noach, not only as a person who basically is charged with the preservation of the natural world, but actually, in fact, we're supposed to look at these psukim and see, in fact, the ethical dimension. That's how I understand what the Netziv is saying. And the Netziv actually uses this technique in several places, like he himself refers to us at the very end here, in the Dibur Maschil, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, Ki Atah Ra'is HaTzadik V'chule, the Netziv says, Ki Yetzi B'zeh Kasabnu La'el Dalet Aleph. In Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, where it says in the Chumash, Va'odom Yoda Eschave Ishtoi, right? Va'tavat later as Kayin, it's peace with the birth of Kayin. Va'toyma Kanisi Is Es Hashem. So Chava says, Va'toyma Kanisi Ish, right? Es Hashem, I have, right? A man is acquired. Well, Kanisi Is Es Hashem, right? In other words, we speak about, I've acquired man with God. I'm going to leave that the translation maybe for another shir. But then he says, "What Kanisi Is Es Hashem?" So says the Netziv, right? This is in Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph. Kanisi Ish Es Hashem Loy Al Etzam Eloda Amba. Right? We're not speaking. Chav is not speaking about the act of birth, which is a natural act. Shiru Teva Briya, because it's part of nature. Shemin Moedes Amino. In other words, reproduction is a natural thing. Right? Right? So in other words, and it says, of course, it was speaking about Teva. Kanisi Ish Hashem. So it should be Elokim, not Yudke Vavke. Ela Vashere Isi Gizeh Havlad Yeh Mukhsha B'yuchad Lavidis Hadoma Kasha Yavua. V'zi Yeh Teva B'yuchadis L'Odom V'chav. In other words, when you have children, the children are going to actually come to help you. So in other words, the birth of children is not only a natural act, but involves an ethical dimension to the creation, by which, in fact, a person in life can be aided by his children. In fact, I see the Gemara in Yevamah speaks about that a woman could force her husband to give her a gift if she's childless, because she says, I need children of my old age to help me. It's the famous Gemara in Yevamah. So in other words, basically, Hashem is a signpost. It's coming to tell us that the pasuk is not coming to account for the natural act of reproduction, but the yudke vavke is actually coming to show us that there's an ethical dimension to this ethical act. So in other words, what is here the chiddush, the novel point of the commentary of the Netziv? The Tziv is not asking the question, why does it say Yudke Vavke? But that's the question of the Rishayim and of the previous commentators, in my opinion, my humble opinion. But the Tziv is saying, given the fact that it says Yudke Vavke, how can I use the meaning of Yudke Vavke as man's metaphysical and ethical relation to God to understand more properly the text of the Chumash? So this is a very, very important, it's actually a modern yisod, a very modern idea that hermeneutics, the interpretation of the Chumash, draws upon what you would call the direct, or calls us, and gives direction to the method of hermeneutical interpretation that will be used by the reader in trying to find meaning in the Chumash. So we have over here a very, very interesting, it's almost like a revolutionary to think of the Netziv, that meaning of the Chumash is consciously calling on man as the interpreter. The Chumash is beckoning man to interpret it. This is Vayikra Lashem in the beginning of Vayikra, right? Vayemer Elav, Rabbi Dalla Me'el Mayet. So what's Vayikra Me'Hashem? So the Rashi breaks himself on the Tes Kahanim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the Lashon of Chiba. Kiviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beckoning Moshe to come interpret the Torah, like the Gemara says, and I think it's Peites Tamar Aleph in Shabbos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting Ksorim on the Oisiyas. I'm not coming here to give a drasha. No, this is not the purpose of Hashkafa Shal Dakam. But nonetheless, the question is that there's a beckoning of the text for the reader to interpret it and to find meaning in it. And the Tziv understands that this is actually the yisoid of the differences in the Shemus Hashem, Elohim, Yudke Vavke. So we don't have to say that there is two texts and two gods, the Elohim God and the Yahweh's God, the E text and the J text, where we say it in a from way, we say it in a scholarly way. But in fact, actually, the different Shemus Hashem are actually coming to direct the reader in how to understand the actual text himself. This is a very, very important yesod here that we see in the Netziv. Now, it turns out, right, is that the Netziv is actually this notion that the text itself is coming to inform us of fact, actually how we're supposed to understand the text, is actually a very interesting thing, because we see that the human creative act of interpretation is built into the text. In other words, the text is not something which stands independent of the creative interpretation. The text actually calls upon the reader to interpret the text. And Lahavdil, of course, right? I think that's really Orbach's position in this essay, Odysseus the Scar. That the purpose, that the Chumash is not, is coming to bring the reader into the text and become part of the text. The reader, the interpreter, becomes part of the text, but it's only the interpreter who can, in fact, complete the literary, the literary work and find meaning into it. And this is the ploy, the technique. I mean, I'm saying technique, you know. This is, of course, the Devar Hashem. But the literary technique is to draw the reader and make the reader's creative interpretation guided by, in fact, the text itself as really being part of being the text. Now, the fact is that we spoke previously about another theme in the Tziv, and we spoke about the Tziv very, very much used, the Zitzenleben. Right? In other words, that the Tziv looked for Chazal as a Zitzenleben of the text itself or two. Actually, these two themes are related. Because what is a Zitzenleben? In a certain sense, Chazal too were directing the reader to try to understand the context of the text too. Just like the Chumash itself, through the Shemus Hashem, is directing the reader towards interpretation. Zitzenleben is also a means by which Chazal directed the reader towards interpretation. And the Netziv actually, in the case of Bereishis, actually expands upon that very interestingly enough in Perek Yud Beis and Pasuk Yizayin. And there, the Netziv speaks about the Avos HaKadoshim, and there, the Netziv tries to take Chazal as, and is using Chazal as the means by which you're supposed to interpret the text itself. In other words, not that the Netziv is saying how Chazal are interpreting the text, but Chazal create what you would call the natural laws, or the laws of, the basic principles. And once Chazal create the basic principles, then the reader is, or the commentator, the interpreter, is actually called upon to use these principles, and use these principles instantly interpreting the text itself. So the Netziv in Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Yud Zayin speaks about, brings different Chazals, which focus either on Avom Avinu, who is Torah, some brings Chazals on that, Yitzchak, who's Avoda, and Yaakov Avinu, who's Chesed. In fact, the famous Chazal in the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Peches, Avram Avinu, right, called it a Hal, right, Yitzchak called that Har Maria, Yitzchak called it a Soda, Yaakov called it a Bayis, and the Tziv takes these Chazals and says, okay, now we have the rules. Now we have the rules. Let's take these rules and try to use these rules to interpret the psukim themselves. This is a very interesting Netziv. So in other words, what the Netziv is saying is, Chazal are the guideposts. In other words, we're not, the chiddush of the Netziv is, I'm not supposed to interpret the Gemara. The Gemara is giving me the guideposts. The Gemara is give you the Shemus Hashem. I take the Chazal, which defines the obvious in three different ways, and I use that now as the means by which I'm going to interpret the story of the Yavos. So once again, this is what's called Chazal imitati pentati, meaning that just like the Chumash itself used the Shemus Hashem as the guideposts or the directions by which the interpreter understands the psukim, so too Chazal were actually the guideposts, right? The means by which the interpreter comes and tries to understand the psukim in Bereishis. Okay, I'm not going to go any further into this, because this is actually something which the reader, I hope that some of you are being inspired to actually read Amud Dov himself. And in Yitzhak Hashem, next time we will continue on another interesting theme in the challenges of the text of the Chumash. But until then, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, be well.